The Oregon Department of Motor Vehicles has allowed license plates that read "Hot Damn," "Witches," "Too Sexy," and "Too Hot for You," yet denied a person who wanted to put "Pray" on her license plate because it would be in violation of the separation of church and state. We see similar trends all over the U.S. Has political correctness, touted to promote tolerance, actually created a new intolerance? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
The television series Star Trek, Star Trek The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager have had a profound effect in both reflecting and in influencing the development of current culture in the United States. The programs feature space travelers who explore strange new worlds and seek out new life and new civilizations. These intrepid explorers live by the Prime Directive, which makes interfering with another culture the ultimate crime. It seems that at the beginning of the 21st century, Star Trek's Prime Directive has become a cultural mantra in the United States. The concept that all cultures, all religions, all human ideas are inherently equal has become the battle cry of those who promote the new tolerance, a tolerance that must by definition promote the concept that there are no absolute truths, that what may be truth for one person is a falsehood for another. David Palmer reports on George Barna's latest research on Americans' belief in absolute truth.
I think we've all seen the television program, Gary, that emphasizes the phrase, the truth is out there. And when surveyed, most Americans will tell you, yes, indeed, they believe that truth exists. However, there is a large majority, both adults and young people, and according to a recent survey, both Christians and non-Christians, who will tell you there are no absolute truths when it comes to moral issues. They argue that truth is relative to the individual and his or her circumstances. Even many of those who claim to be followers of the Bible, while saying they believe it is accurate in all of its teachings, will nevertheless tell you that truth is based on feelings, experience, and emotion. As one member of the research group put it, this is one of the great deceptions of our age, embracing relativism under the guise of Christian faith. It allows for a faith that facilitates comfort with sin, and by claiming individual authority to determine right from wrong, we have, in effect, absolved God of having any authority in our lives.
What has actually happened since the Cultural Revolution of the 1960s is that many of the concepts that were considered absolute truths by a majority of people for hundreds of years in American history have been replaced, not with non-confrontational tolerance, but with a new set of absolutes that are promoted with missionary zeal. Ask someone who is a pro-abortionist if she is tolerant and accepting of someone who is pro-life. Ask someone who supports homosexuality if he believes that a Christian who believes homosexuality is a sin is equal and true in his position. William D. Watkins outlines the dramatic changes taking place in America's moral landscape in his book, The New Absolutes. Let's look at some examples. A few decades ago, most people in the United States believed that the Christian religion formed the foundation of a moral society, although other religions were to be tolerated. The new absolute is that anything to do with Christianity must be eradicated from all public forums, while non-Christian religions are promoted as a positive multicultural experience. Barner reports that 44% of Americans contend that the Bible, the Quran, and the Book of Mormon are all different expressions of the same spiritual truths. Of course, anyone who has ever scanned these books know that while there are some similarities, they are opposed to each other in many important ways. Another old absolute held that marriage was a sacred institution ordained by God, and that divorce was a terrible personal failure. Marriage was defined by two people united for life. Children were to be nurtured in this environment of two committed parents. The new absolute is a vague definition of a family as a revolving door of temporary relationships. To hold to the old absolute is to be seen as unrealistic. Some sociologists claim that human beings instinctively need to mate with different people on a regular basis. The old absolute saw human beings as created in the image of God, not just as a higher form of animal controlled by instinctive urges. The human capacity for absolute good, the value of personal character molded by measurable standards, the development of the next generation were all seen as something worth personal sacrifice. An old absolute promoted that sexual activity was an emotional and physical bond between two people who were committed to each other in the lifelong institute of marriage. The new absolute promotes that sexual relationships are to be freely experienced between two consenting adults, including homosexual relationships. Not to accept this new absolute is to be seen as homophobic, repressive, and even anti-nature. Just how far is society to tolerate what used to be called deviant behavior? Once again, David Palmer reports.
One of the most bizarre aspects of our society has now become commonplace, Gary. I refer to the man-woman sex change, where men become almost, but not quite, female. They call themselves she-males, and recently held a huge rally in Toronto. The show was designed as a fun, flirty way to introduce she-males to mainstream society, and was part of a cross-Canada movement by transgendered people to fight discrimination. She-males are men who live their lives as women and undergo various procedures, such as breast, cheek, and lip implants to look female, but keep their male genitals. Amanda Taylor, organizer of the Toronto pageant, says they also prefer to be referred to as she or her, despite being genetically male. And Taylor is calling on the government to include a third gender category on legal identification cards to reflect transgendered people.
Thanks, David. That was David Palmer calling in from our news desk in Canada. Years ago, most people in this country believed that children were a blessing from God, and parents had a sacred obligation to take care of them. The new absolute sees children as a lifestyle decision. If having a child interferes with personal desires and goals, then the fetus can be aborted. Not accepting this new absolute is to be branded as trying to keep women as sexual slaves by denying them freedom over their own bodies. Our society isn't just sliding into a morass of no absolutes, but turning into a culture of intolerance towards the traditional values that shaped much of America's history. How can Christians make sense of this new intolerance? We'll be back to discuss this important question right after this message.
Jesus Christ promised almost 2,000 years ago, "I will build my church." And he also promised that his church would never die out, promising that the gates of the grave shall not prevail against it. What happened to the church Jesus built? The church had a powerful beginning, and today millions of people profess Christianity. They claim to be members of the church Jesus founded. Can we know whether Christianity's bewildering variety of denominations, customs, and teachings faithfully represents those of Jesus Christ? In our free booklet, The Church Jesus Built, we examine the fruits Jesus and his apostles said would identify his church. You will learn not from human tradition or opinion, but directly from God's Word, how you can identify the church of God. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of The Church Jesus Built. That's 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We have with us in our Good News Radio studios Tom Kirkpatrick, a minister in the United Church of God living here in Cincinnati, Ohio. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome, Gary. It's good to be with you. The topic of today's program is crucial, I believe, for the survival of our nation, so I'm glad to be here with you to talk with you about it.
Why do you think that what passes for tolerance in our society is many times really intolerance towards traditional values like family, the sanctity of human life, and morality.
Well, Gary, the reason this is so important is that what you are describing is not merely a rejection of traditional human standards or values, but is actually a rejection of God's values as revealed in the Bible. And that's pretty serious. If a larger and larger percentage of this generation chooses to conform to some new conventional wisdom, as it's often called, and replaces or at least alters the old conventional wisdom of previous generations, that would be one thing. Reasonable people could perhaps arrive at different and equally valid conclusions as to the consequences of such a shift. But what you're talking about, what we're talking about today, is quite a different thing. When individuals or groups of individuals or even a whole society rejects the absolute and unchanging standards or laws of God, the creator of everything, that is very serious and quite a different matter. When that happens, and I believe, Gary, it is happening in our society and culture today, there are actually frightful and profound consequences because, as the Bible tells us, God is not mocked.
As we're talking about the change in tolerance in society, something that comes to my mind right away is euthanasia and abortion. And euthanasia and abortion seem like unrelated issues, yet they really are related in their lack of appreciation for the value put on human life.
Well, let's go back to those are family-related values, Gary. Let's go back to the original concept of family. God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son are an eternal family. And God, the God family, is the giver of life. It's very important for us to establish that at the outset. They are the ones who give life. The Father and the Son are eternal, and they have revealed themselves and their eternal, unchanging values in the Bible. And it's very important for us to realize that these are unchanging values because God changes not. So a truly enlightened individual, or even a truly enlightened society, will be guided by God's word, not just the conventional wisdom of the day. But sadly, Gary, there is a lot of spiritual darkness in the world today and not very much enlightenment. Human reason, human desires, have replaced, in all too many cases, respect and even reverence for God's standards as revealed in his word and obedience to God's will as revealed in the Bible. So when you come right down to it, we have to ask, what are God's standards in these questions? And even though it's not politically correct in some quarters or in many quarters, it is the case that an accurate study of the Bible, a full study of the Bible, would lead a person to the conclusion that the murder, Gary, of viable unborn children is one manifestation of the replacing of God's standards, thou shalt not kill, with human reasoning, such as we as humans have a right which we will not relinquish to anybody, even to God, to determine if an unborn child can be brought to birth. It's a very serious matter when individuals or societies reject God's unchanging standards for conventional wisdom of the day.
Well, let's shift gears a little bit to another standard. I think many, if most people in this country, including many Christians, usually say that what two consenting adults do in private is their own business when we're talking about sexuality. How tolerant was Jesus on this subject?
Well, again, everybody has their ideas, don't they, Gary? But if we look to the standard of God's word, if we look to the record of God's word, we just find this. Jesus, as God, as creator, has the wisdom and the right to tell us, the created, how to live our lives. He tells mankind how to use the gift of sex. It is really not complicated, Gary, nor from God's perspective is it open to negotiation. He says that sexual activity should be limited to marriage. Premarital sex, adultery, and homosexual activity are forbidden by God and Christ. They are sin. So in some people's mind, you'd have to say that Jesus is very intolerant in the sense of what does he countenance. Now, is there forgiveness? Is there mercy with God That's an entirely separate issue. And God's mercy, which he extends to those who repent of breaking his standards, is quite another issue. But as to what God endorses, it's pretty limited to sex within marriage.
So I guess in our politically correct society, do we judge Jesus as being intolerant?
Well, Gary, sadly, I think many do. I think many do not only judge Jesus as being intolerant, but those who insist on adhering to Jesus' revealed standards in the Bible. But that is simply, I believe, an expression of human pride and self-will to actually judge our Creator, who loves us so much, as intolerant and as a nuisance for commanding us how to live. This sort of attitude, sadly, as it becomes more widespread, becomes a curse on a society.
It just seems arrogant, the arrogance of the created standing up to the Creator and saying, you don't know how life works. I tell you, Tom, thanks for joining us today. We'll have you back on soon.
Thank you very much, Gary.
Okay. In the next segment, we're going to talk about an intolerant religious sect and the impact it may have on your life. So don't go away.
Jesus Christ promised almost 2,000 years ago, I will build my church. And he also promised that his church would never die out, promising that the gates of the grave shall not prevail against it. What happened to the church Jesus built? In our free booklet, The Church Jesus Built, we examine the fruits Jesus and his apostles said would identify his church. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of The Church Jesus Built. That's 1-800-966-9232.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News behind the headlines.
If you were to compile a list of intolerant and oppressive religious beliefs, what would they be? Maybe the list would include any religion that taught that you must accept its leader for salvation, or proclaim that it is the only true religion and deny other religious beliefs. The list might include any religion with prohibitions against homosexuality or strict guidelines for divorce. Now, this is a true story about the leaders of a Jewish religious sect. These religious leaders actually performed what many people claimed was a public miracle, resulting in an appearance before the national government. Now, we pick up an historical account, so listen. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in their midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this miracle? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means has he been made well? Let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation by any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. This new religious sect claimed that salvation was possible only through their leader, Jesus of Nazareth. Do the teachings of the New Testament apostles of Christ still apply to Christians today? Because if the Bible is the inspired word of God, then eternal salvation cannot come through Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, or Islam. I know this seems intolerant, but it is what the early Christian apostles of Jesus taught. Contemporary Jewish leaders were also appalled at the intolerance of this teaching. Notice their reaction in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now, if you don't have a Bible, get one and follow along. Luke writes, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle had been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name.' And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus." The proclamation of Jesus the Christ as the only means of salvation was so intolerant in first century Jewish society that the religious leaders forbid his teachings. Do you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Do you know what he really taught? If you want to be a true Christian, then it's time to read and apply the actual life and teachings of its founder. You have the historical account of his life right there in your own home. The first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, contain the story of the man who claimed to be the divine Son of God. Do you know what Jesus taught about divorce or sexual fantasies or obligations to taking care of elderly parents? If we don't even know what he taught, then claiming to be his disciples is nothing more than hypocrisy. Here's a reality check. There is absolute good and absolute evil. Good and evil aren't philosophical concepts, but very real thoughts, emotions, and actions. Walking into a school with an automatic weapon and gunning down other teenagers in cold blood is genuine evil, just as using a tube to suck out the brains of a baby and calling it partial birth abortion is genuine evil. Does this mean that Christians are to oppress other religions? Should Christians launch another crusade against Islam or take violent action against people who run abortion clinics? The writers of the New Testament instruct Christians to love our neighbors. Christianity, in a very real sense, is the most tolerant of all religions, and that the followers of Christ are to be kind to all people, regardless of their beliefs. But Christians are expected by Jesus Christ to take a stand in their own lives and in the public forum as examples of the teachings of the Bible. Jesus makes a remarkable statement to his disciples in John chapter 15, verses 18 through 21. He says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you were not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me." Jesus told his disciples that if they lived and preached his message, people would eventually persecute them in the name of Jesus Christ. He would find that people would claim to follow him, but find his teachings intolerant. If the Bible is the inspired word of God, then it makes claims to being the objective measure of absolute truth. If there is no absolute truth, if there is no good and evil, then the Christianity of the Bible is a fairy tale. At the beginning of the program, we talked about the Star Trek television series. A major theme in these programs is good guys versus the bad guys. Most people like to think that there is some form of good that eventually wins out over evil. But the prime directive isn't the criteria for determining the ultimate good. Christians are called to participate in the cosmic battle between good and evil. This warfare makes the plot of science fiction seem trite because the Christian's ultimate outcome is eternal life in the kingdom of God. It is our hope on Good News Radio to challenge you to reevaluate your beliefs and discover the real Jesus Christ. You can get the booklet offered on today's program, The Church Jesus Built, free of charge, simply by calling this toll-free number, 1-800-966-9232. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. And if you would like to comment on today's program, we may even read your comments on the air, you can contact Good News Radio on the Internet by emailing us at gnradio@ucg.org. We do appreciate your feedback about the program. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is always, it's up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. On Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Jesus Christ promised almost 2,000 years ago, I will build my church. And he also promised that his church would never die out, promising that the gates of the grave shall not prevail against it. What happened to the church Jesus built? The church had a powerful beginning, and today millions of people profess Christianity. They claim to be members of the church Jesus founded. Can we know whether Christianity's bewildering variety of denominations, customs, and teachings faithfully represents those of Jesus Christ? In our free booklet, The Church Jesus Built, we examine the fruits Jesus and his apostles said would identify his church. You will learn, not from human tradition or opinion, but directly from God's Word, how you can identify the Church of God. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of The Church Jesus Built. That's 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The number again is 1-800-966-9232, or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.